sighed, and her mouth dropped when she saw me. "Holy crap, Emma! You are hot!" Then a twinkle came to her eyes. "Planning something extra for tonight, maybe?" I flushed. "I don't want to talk about that." "You are." Her grin turned wicked, and she pushed one of the drinks into my hand. "Can't say I blame you. That man is one fine specimen walking around on two legs. If I hadn't agreed to a date tomorrow night, and if you weren't my friend, I would have thrown my name into the hat." "He's gorgeous, Emma. You're very lucky to get to ride that man tonight." "Teresa." I knew she had a little of a wild side, but this was a new Teresa to me. Then I realized how red her cheeks were as I fanned mine to cool off. Noah came in around her.
"She's drunk,"
I gathered. So those two were going on a date? Teresa snorted. She must have caught the look I skirted between them. "It's not him. I met a nice gentleman this afternoon. He suggested drinks, and it's high time I got something from a man." Then she threw a dark look to the side. Noah rolled his eyes as he poured a drink from the bar.
"A gentleman? He's a dick. Just wait, you'll see."
She drew upright, and her shoulders squared back. "I will see, now won't I?" He mumbled something under his breath as he went back to the dance floor. Teresa glared at his back until he had stepped beyond our eyesight, then the corners of her lips curved down and her shoulders dropped. "He's the dick, not Alan. Alan is a gentleman to me, kind, considerate, not like Noah. He's such an ass sometimes." "What happened today?" Her lips started to tremble. Her chin quivered, and a burst of tears came out. "Teresa?" She shook her head, unable to speak, and sat on one of the couches. I sat beside her, placing both of our drinks on the table. With one hand rubbing in circles over her back, I murmured, "What happened? Whatever it is, I'm sure it'll be fine." "No, it won't." "What happened?" "He's such an ass. That's what happened." Her head reared back, and she flicked some of her tears away. "We went back to my place when we got home. I was so excited you'd be working with me again, and I wanted to start celebrating early. Noah said to leave you alone until tonight, so fine, we did. We had a few drinks, and then..." She took a deep breath as she flicked another tear away from her eye, her makeup smudged. "And then we had sex." I sat upright, my mouth forming a small O, but I wasn't surprised. "And it wasn't good?" "No," she wailed. "That's the problem. It was amazing. It was agonizing. It was everything those movies make it out to be." "So what's the problem? Unless he didn't..." "We did it twice, Emma." She turned to me, eyes still watering and her lip shaking. "I want to do it again. That's the problem. I want to do it till the cows come home. But he said thank you. He said thank you. Can you believe that? Thank you." Her mouth stretched in irritation. "Thank you. Like I'm some maid that cleaned his couch. Thank you. My ass, thank you. And then he suggested we go to the gym together. The gym." "I'm sorry, Teresa."
"Leave the girl alone about our sex life. She's got bigger problems to deal with than us," Noah barked from the doorway.
She sucked in her breath and surged to her feet. "That was a private conversation."
"Not real private when I can hear every damn word. Stop whining, Teresa. I have every intention of bending you over tonight."
Her mouth dropped, and she wavered on her feet before she squeaked out, "You do?"
"Yes."
His eyes sparkled from annoyance, and he pulled out his tie to toss on a table.
"Finish your drink, get another one, and come out here to dance with me."
When he went back outside, Teresa's hand gripped mine and squeezed. "I know I shouldn't be excited by that. I know it's against women's lib and all that. But I'm going to have sex with that man. I'm going to have sex with him tonight and every night after this. At least that's what I'm hoping." I chuckled
and swatted her on the booty. "Go for it, Teresa. Show him who's the man."
"I'm the man."
"Go tell him that." Her smile was dazzling, and she embraced me, holding me tight for a second.
"Thank you, Emma. I'm so glad that I've gotten to know you. You have no idea. I don't make friends that easily, and we clicked so well right off the bat."
I hugged her back, patting her at the same time.
"Me too."
But as she pulled away with an excited bounce in her step and joined Noah on the private dance floor, I lost the slight enjoyment I had for the evening. I had other friends. Two of them were very near and dear to my heart, and I had abandoned them.
"What's wrong?"
I whirled around, and there was Carter. He was dressed in a black sweatshirt with a black shirt underneath. His pants were black as well. I had never been one to critique his wardrobe, but I knew enough to know that he hadn't come from the office. My throat had gone dry.
"Where were you?"
His eyes switched from concern to an intense perusal. I flinched underneath his scrutiny now, knowing he was doing what he always did. He was searching inside of me, trying to read what was wrong with me. His head tilted to the side, his wolf eyes narrowed with thoughtfulness, and his lips thinned.
"You are mad I didn't come to you?"
His hand reached for my arm, but I flicked it away.
"I'm disappointed you didn't come to me. I'm mad because there are some things we need to discuss, things you've been keeping from me."
He stepped close to me, enough so he brushed against me and didn't move back. His hand circled to rest on my back, urging me even closer to him. A dizzying wave swept over me. It was always like this. The second he came into contact with me, lust, pleasure, and so many other emotions blinded me until I only felt one emotion, need. It was overtaking me again, and my eyes closed when I felt his head bend towards mine. His lips brushed over mine, so softly as he murmured,
"I'm sure there are, but right now..."
His hand cupped the back of my neck.
"We're here to celebrate you and your promotion."
My body melted into his. "I haven't been told the official news." His lips pressed against my mouth, taking my breath away. His hand found mine. He interlaced our fingers before he whispered against my lips,
"Then let's make it official."
He turned to the dance floor and called,
"Noah."
"Yeah?"
He was leading Teresa inside by her hand. Both looked as if they'd thoroughly been kissed. When my eyes caught hers, she gave me a sloppy smile that told me two things. One, she was happy. And two, she was indeed drunk. Carter curved an arm around my back and pulled me close. He held a hand out. A drink immediately appeared in it, thanks to an efficient employee, and he handed it to me before a second one appeared. He held that one in the air.
"To a great new product for the Richmond Hotel, and to Emma, who received news today."
He lingered as he gave Noah a pointed look.
"Oh, yeah."
Noah lifted his drink higher.
"You've been promoted, Emma, but these two already broke the news. Congratulations. You're now the head of Project Promotions, and you're partnering with the head of Innovative Projects, right here."
His arm squeezed around Teresa.
"Congratulations to you both."
Teresa giggled as she raised her drink.
"Congratulations to both of us."
"Thanks, guys." I watched as Teresa and Noah clinked their glasses together before taking a sip. She reached up for a kiss, but he batted her away. When her lips formed into a pout, he frowned but yanked her back out onto the dance floor for privacy. Carter and I watched through the glass walls as they kissed in celebration. I chuckled. "Do they know we can see them?" Carter pulled me to face him and bent his head down. His lips lingered on the base of my neck as he murmured,
"I don't care, as long as we have some privacy."
His hands gripped my hips, and he held me against him, anchored in place as his lips started to explore my neck. I closed my eyes as a feeling settled in my gut. It wasn't one that I was used to, but it wasn't one that I would reject.
It was peace. In his arms, surrounded by two new friends, I was happy. Carter stayed by my side most of the time. He left for phone calls or when an employee would poke their head inside the office, but for the most part, it was just the four of us. Noah's sister came a few hours later. She was a slim girl with platinum hair and twinkling blue eyes. There was a kinship between her and Teresa. As I watched them laugh together, their years of history were obvious, and a small prick of envy came to me. When I watched the younger girl interact with her brother, that envy grew into jealousy. I missed AJ. I missed the hugs. I missed the hair tussles. I missed how he told me what to do and I would ignore him. And I missed the time we never got. AJ died so long ago that I rarely thought of him. But I did that evening. When a few tears came to me, I let them fall freely. They were healing tears, ones that I wasn't embarrassed to show. Teresa mouthed to me across the room, "Are you okay?" I nodded. I was. I really was. Carter returned from another call and saw everything. He took my hand, pulling me into one of the back bedrooms. When he flipped a switch, the lighting was soft and low, but I saw that it wasn't a bedroom. Two large couches were set up along with a sectional in the other corner. The wall was covered with a large flat-screen television. He turned it on, but muted the sound. It was of the club downstairs. Every minute the screen would change to another room in octave. Then he turned and studied me. The multicolors from the television flashed over him, casting him in a changing canvas of shadows. It made him seem more alluring and dangerous. He asked, "What happened?" I sighed. He always knew. "Nothing."
"Emma?"
"Nothing." My voice rose. He took my arm and pulled me close.
"What happened?"
"Nothing." His hand tightened, but I didn't feel it. His touches were becoming a second skin to me. "It's seeing them out there."
"Did they do something?"
"No. It's their love for each other. And Teresa grew up with them. It's..."
"AJ."
At that one word, the dam broke in me. I had known that I missed him, but those earlier emotions were nothing compared to the storm that took over me now. I fell to the couch, and Carter went with me. He lifted me into his lap and pressed a kiss to my forehead. He brushed my hair back and continued to do so. His touch was tender and soothing. But he was right. It was AJ. I missed my brother.
"I miss him too."
Carter gave me a smile, but it was haunted.
"We don't talk about AJ that much, but I loved him. I don't protect you because of him, though. I know you think that, but that's not why. I protect you because of you. Because..."
My heart pounded, and my eyes grew wide. Was he going to say what I thought he was going to say? I waited, my breath held, but a guarded look came over him. He started to look away, but I grabbed his chin. I held him in place. "Carter?" The guarded look slid away.
"Yes."
My hand tightened. "What were you going to say?"
"When?"
I moved, so I was straddling him. His hand gripped the back of my hips. I was pressed against him, my chest to his, eye to eye, and I lingered with my lips just above his. I whispered to him, "What were you going to say to me?" His chest lifted, and I felt the air that he drew in. My eyes closed. My breath went with him, into him. He still didn't say it. "Please," I wrenched out.
"Why?"
"Because I think I know." I hoped I knew. Every nerve in my body was stretched with want. I wanted to hear those words. The need was blossoming in my chest, ready to explode. "Tell me." He grinned.
"Tell you what? That I care about you? You already know that."
"Stop teasing me." His smile slipped, and his eyes dropped. They lingered on my lips, where I was teasing him. Then he said it.
"I love you."
Everything fell away in that moment. My eyes caught and held his. My hand fell to his chest, and it stayed there, feeling his heart. He tilted my head back and pressed a kiss underneath my chin as he murmured,
"I have always loved you."
Another kiss.
"I will always love you, Emma. There's been no other for me."
His hand slid to the back of my neck, and his lips moved back to mine.
"Now, do you love me?"
I grinned against him, unable to hold it in. "You know I do." His hand tightened behind me.
"Say it."
"I love you." My body melted to his. I became one with him as I said those words. Then I said it again, because I could. "I love you. I always have." His lips opened over mine, demanding his entrance. I gave it, because I needed all of him, as much as I could get. 20. The rest of the night was spent in a mix of anticipation, agony, and adrenaline. I was addicted to Carter, and we couldn't go long without a touch or a look between the two of us. Teresa noticed something was different when we came back to the main dance floor. Her eyebrows went high, and she crossed the room to grab my hand. "What happened?" "What do you mean?" I was breathless. My body was still tingling with the knowledge that Carter loved me. He loved me. A new set of sensations rushed through me. "Emma, I might be drunk, but I'm not stupid. You're glowing." Her mouth dropped. "Did you guys get it on in there?" "No," she shrugged. "A bit kinky, but we are at Octave." She glanced at Carter as Noah handed him a drink. "And he's the owner. You could do it on the main dance floor if you wanted." She cringed. "Make sure it's clean, though, huh?" "We didn't get it on." We had come close. "Why not? I would if he were mine." Her voice dipped low to a seductive drawl. Carter looked over. His eyes lingered on Teresa and narrowed before he turned back to Noah. She barked out a laugh. "God, how many times does he get hit on? I was giving him the bedroom eyes, a lip quiver, and everything. And nothing. He's loyal, I can tell." I stiffened. Should I get pissed about that? Then she sighed. "I was wrong with all my rants before about him. Noah always said I didn't know what I was talking about, and I should have listened to him." She gave me a wide smile. "I hope you have hot and dirty sex tonight. Do it for me." I glanced towards my boss. "I don't think I need to. I think you're going to be having your own tonight." "No." She rolled her eyes. "I love Brianna, but she freaked out when she saw us flirting. Look at her over there now." The petite blonde stood close to both men. When one of her hands lifted, as if to rest on Carter's chest, a bolt of possessiveness went through me. He was mine. Carter caught my look, curved the ends of his mouth up, and moved out of her reach. The hand fell back to her hip, but she stiffened and her head straightened upwards. He shot me a smoldering look, as if to reassure me. But I blinked rapidly and shook my head to clear the need to go over there and drag the little girl away. It was primal, setting off the ache between my legs again. Teresa sipped her drink and murmured, "Holy woman, another hot look from him." "So his sister doesn't approve of the two of you?" She grinned at me. "Nice subject change, but I'll take the bait." She took a deep breath before sipping on her drink again. "Brianna is the princess in Noah's family. Everyone dotes on her, and she's here trying to prove that she can make it on her own. Of course, she's doing it so she can get their grandfather's inheritance. He made a stipulation that she had to keep a full-time job for so many years before she could touch that money. So this is her, trying to prove to everyone she can make it." "You guys seemed fond of each other." "We are. I love her like a little sister, which is probably why she freaked out when she saw me and Noah dancing together." A sad tone rose in her voice.
And if little sister isn't okay with it, then big brother won't do it. Heavens, that Brianna might be disturbed by something. She's been through so much since their grandfather died 10 years ago. Her sarcasm was thick at the end. So everybody does what she wants? Yeah. She finished her drink and moved to the bar for another. When their grandfather died, she had been with him. The next year was hard on her. She couldn't sleep. She was barely eating. She started drinking, doing drugs, all of it, unprotected sex. To say that she put that family through a second ringer after losing their grandfather is an understatement. Noah will not do anything to jeopardize her health in any way. They're okay with her working here? Are you kidding me? She shook her head. After the initial shock, they love it. She loves it. That's all that matters. They don't care as long as she goes somewhere and makes money. Plus, she got that promotion. When the bartender handed her the drink, she took a big gulp before setting it down roughly. I know your man did that as a favor to Noah, but it didn't help her. Now she's got it in her head that the boss wants her. Look at her. She had edged close to Carter again. Her head was tipped back, her long hair cascaded down her back, and her lips were pursed in an adorable pout. I gritted my teeth and tried to keep my fingers from shattering my glass. I'm sorry, Teresa groaned. I love her. I'm just a bit sore because the night I wanted with Noah isn't going to happen now. I don't think it'll ever happen. She can't have that much say over your life. She does, and she will. Her eyes darkened. And I know Noah. He is overprotective to the extreme. If there's a slight chance that it would send her into the tailspin like before, he won't chance it. He hasn't even looked at me since she got here. And he won't. We are back to pretending we don't know each other, and I'm only his employee. I remembered their small argument the first night at her apartment. That's what it was before? Yeah. His mother is great. She always includes me with their family events, but I'm not their family. Not really. Noah doesn't want me around his family. Brianna does, but not in the way I want to be there. With him. Exactly. That sounds lonely. It sounded like me. Carter had been my family, and then it was gone when AJ died. I destroyed my second family as well. I'm fine. A hard edge was in her voice as she tossed back the rest of her drink. When she placed the glass back on the bar, she swayed to the side. I caught her, steadying her, but her head hung down. Maybe I should go home. It's close to closing. Maybe we should all go. Her hand found mine that was on her arm. She squeezed it. Thanks, Emma. I can already tell that you're a good friend. Some days I think that's the only thing I'll get. Good friends. My voice was gruff. Friends can be the best family sometimes. I know. What are you two talking about over here? A sweet voice came from behind us. Teresa stiffened. Nothing, Brianna. How's your night? Up close, her bright blue eyes were dazzling. With a small nose, the perfect tiny mouth, Noah's little sister resembled a pixie. Cute and adorable, but the feigned innocence in her depths shifted as she met my gaze. She let something dark slip for a second, before her blinding smile rose a notch and excitement filtered through to cover it. The black staff shirt of Octave was tight on her, allowing a few inches to showcase the golden tan of her stomach. The uniform stipulated black shirt and black pants, and Brianna's black pants stuck to every curve she had. She stuck a hand out. We haven't formally met, though Noah filled me in. Brianna, this is Emma. Emma, Brianna. Teresa waved her hand between the two of us. When my hand took hers in the handshake, she held on a second longer than necessary. The warning was given. When my eyes narrowed, she let go. The smile never slipped a notch. And you know Carter as well? Oh, boy. My chest tightened. I've known Carter all my life. I couldn't help it. Her eyes widened. Really? Teresa rounded to me. Really? A hand curved around my hip at that moment, and I was pulled into Carter's side. He was warm and embracing. My body molded to his, fitting perfectly as he said,
I was best friends with her brother. Their couch was my second bedroom. I didn't know you had a best friend, Carter.
Noah joined the conversation.
I did.
He dropped a soft kiss to my shoulder.
And with that little tidbit, Emma and I should be getting home.
Brianna's eyebrows shot up, as did Teresa's. Noah frowned. Carter led me out by the hand. I glanced over my shoulder. Teresa mouthed to me, Home? I gave her a brief smile before we were out the door and hurrying down the darkened hallway. The guards fell into step around us, surrounding us, and we made our way through the club's maze. The few times I had been there told me that we weren't going to the usual side exit. However, I didn't ask where we were headed, as Carter dragged me behind him at a fast speed. The men sensed his urgency and grew tense as we stepped through the tunnel that connected the club with the hotel behind it. I remembered the penthouse, but as we stepped out of the plush hallway lined with red velvet carpet, we went to the side stairs and hurried downstairs instead. We stopped at the door that opened to the basement parking garage. The men swept through, but Carter held me back. For a second, we were alone. What's going on? His hand tightened around mine.
We need to get you to safety.
Carter? Alarm slithered down my back. What's going on? He didn't respond, only withdrew his gun and tightened his hold on my hand. The door opened, and one of the guards gave him a nod.
It's clear, sir.
Carter went first, but held my arm tight. When we crossed the few feet for the car, he stepped to the side and guided me inside with a hand over my head. He slid in next. I expected more guards to follow. There was room for three more, but was surprised when he shut the door. It was only the two of us. It wasn't long until we started moving. It didn't seem like we had gone far when the car jerked to a stop. My heart flew into my chest. Not again. Unlike last time, he didn't wait to hear any information from the front. As soon as the car braked, Carter reacted. He had been sitting next to me. I had taken a relaxing breath. A few of the knots in my stomach had just loosened when he flew out of the car before I could even comprehend what was happening. As soon as I had, the air outside was filled with screams, gunshots, and shouts. Gun! Someone yelled. Another screamed, Run! The next second I heard a stampede. People ran past the car. The thud of people being shoved came next.
Get out of here! Someone barked out, Move away from there, now!
Ah! A girl cried out. Another thud came, and her scream cut off. That was all it took. I scrambled out of the car. I didn't want innocent people to get hurt because of me. When I opened the door, more people were running past. A guy almost ran into me. He caught himself, bounced off the car, and rotated in a circle around me. He kept running.
Get in the car.
I looked around. Some of the guards were positioned around me, but half of them were gone. I saw Mike in the distance. He was fighting someone. Where was Carter? Panic started to rise when I couldn't see him. Then I yelled out, Carter!
Move it!
Someone cursed. A strangled sound came from him next, and I whirled to see that one of the guards had grabbed his throat. The guy was lifted off the ground and tossed aside.
Hey! Get going!
The guard pointed down the opposite direction.
Now!
The guy stood, ready to argue, but saw the other two guards. He ran where he was told to go. Emma! I craned my neck. Teresa stood inside a doorway, not far from where the car had stopped. Noah was in front of her, with a restraining hand across her stomach. He was scowling as he watched the herd of people in the streets.
Bang! Bang!
Emma! Get over here! Teresa waved me over frantically.
No!
The guard closest to me grabbed my arm and started to push me back into the car.
Get inside, Miss Emma. Mr. Reed is coming back.
But... I looked to my friends.
It's safer.
His hand tightened.
Emma!
I recognized the voice. Everything in me tightened with tension. Carter. He was there, running back to me and waving me to the side. When he saw I wasn't doing what he wanted, he yelled next.
Matthew, get her inside, now!
A woman screamed behind me.
Carter!
Noah stepped out from their doorway.
Our car took off.
He waved them over.
Get in the car. Matthew, get her inside, now!
The grip on my arm doubled, and I was lifted in the air. As I watched, Noah and Teresa started to cross towards us, but then I saw something else. Horror rose in my throat, and my eyes bulged out. I couldn't stop it. I couldn't do anything. Carter was covering the distance at a breakneck speed, but someone stepped out of another doorway. He was too far away for the guards to grab him, and not close enough for Carter to tackle him. Scott Graham lifted the gun in his hand. It was small, but he lifted it with ease. He had done it many times before. Instead of the flashy Casanova impression he had given me before, a cold mask gripped his features. He was like Carter, a killer. Then he turned the gun towards me. Everything stopped. My heart stopped beating. I stopped breathing.
Emma!
Teresa yelled. A blood-curdling scream ripped from her throat next. He saw me, aimed, and his eyes narrowed. It was coming. It was a matter of seconds. I readied myself. I stared at him, dead in the eyes, and waited. I was going to die. I knew it in that moment, and I couldn't do anything to stop it. The guard whirled around in that moment, but Scott could still see me. He moved his gun to the side and steadied his hand once more. All of a sudden, Carter was there. He snaked a hand around his neck. Scott stiffened, but it was too late. Carter grabbed a hold of the back of his neck and twisted. It was a clean movement, lethal. His neck snapped, and he let go of the body. It dropped at his feet. Carter didn't pause. He sprinted over it and was next to me seconds later. He took me from the guard. Before I was shoved inside, I looked over again. Two guards had followed Carter. They swooped down and each grabbed one end of the body. Scott was thrown in a car before us, and it raced off. Teresa and Noah were already inside the car, waiting for us.
"Where's your sister?"
My heart was pounding in my eardrums.
"Employee exit. She's safe."
As we had talked, Carter slammed his door shut and our car took off again. The sister wouldn't have mattered anyway. Carter wasn't waiting. From the sudden speed of the car, I was thrown backwards. He still held me around my waist and pulled me to his lap. I sat there, huddled over him as I couldn't close my eyes anymore. I almost died. I should have felt something. Fear, shock, something. But I felt nothing. 21. I assumed we would take Teresa home, but was surprised when we stopped outside a remote, cabin-like home. It was huge. When I climbed out of the car, I glanced over and saw two large wrought-iron gates closing behind us. It locked, and a bolt of electricity sounded. No one was getting in.
"Where are we?"
Noah answered Teresa's question.
"We're somewhere safe. Don't worry, we're only here for the night."
He frowned at Carter.
"Right?"
There was no answer. Carter took my hand and led the way. When we stepped inside a spacious foyer, he pulled me into a back room and closed the door.
"I need you to do me a favor."
"Why are we here? Why aren't we home?" He stepped close and dropped his voice.
"That's part of the favor I need from you. I don't trust your friend. I can't let her go on her own, and I couldn't bring them to our house, so this was the next best choice. Everyone's on lockdown for the next 24 hours. There's no cell phone or internet connection here. I have one television, but that's it."
He turned my shoulders so that I faced him squarely.
"Emma, I need you to watch your friend for me."
"Teresa?" Alarm rose in me. "Why?"
"I killed a man. She was already in the car, but she could have seen it. I need to know what she saw and what she's thinking about it."
"You mean if she'll report you?" "No, she wouldn't." I frowned. She couldn't. This was Carter, my Carter. "She knows you're friends with Noah, and she knows about us."
You said yourself that she's never approved of my connections, and she doesn't like my friendship with Noah.
He frowned a little and touched my hip to pull me closer. His head dropped to my neck, his favorite spot. His lips brushed against my skin as he murmured,
I killed a man in front of her. I know she considered him a friend. I'd kill him again.
Shivers coursed through me, but they weren't the bad kind. They should have been, but they weren't. I held my breath, closing my eyes as his hand explored under my shirt. It traveled up, nearing my breasts. It stopped underneath my breasts. His fingers slid under my bra and rested there. My chest rose as I wanted him to continue touching me. He grinned against my neck and moved back to meet my gaze. His eyes were lidded, heavy with desire.
I would do it again in a heartbeat. He was sent to kill you, Emma.
The image of him holding his gun flashed in my mind. A heavy feeling rested over my chest. Why? He worked for you, didn't he? He hesitated, removing his hand and stepped back. I was cold without his touch. Carter? He grimaced.
I forgot he was friends with Noah and Teresa. I had hoped to keep him away from you.
He paused for a beat.
He was selling information to Franco.
What? Why would you... How long have you known that?
It's why he was working for me. We were watching him, and Octave was the best place for him to work. All of my businesses are legit, but he didn't know that.
Wait, you stuck him at Octave so that he could give information to Franco? He chuckled, shaking his head.
No, we stuck him there because there was no information to give. Anywhere else and he would have been suspicious, but Octave doesn't strike people as being vanilla. That's what it is, though.
His grin fell flat.
He's the one who told Franco where you were. He's why we were attacked the first time.
But that meant that they had been looking for me, not Jeremy's body anymore.
Yeah, he sighed. They knew, Emma. They knew it was you.
Ben gave me enough money. Ice ran through my veins. My mouth fell open as my breathing slowed. He looked happy last week. He thought he was hot stuff. I stopped breathing. It couldn't be, but it had to be. No way. I felt gutted. Someone had taken a knife and slid it across my throat before they reared back for one deep thrust. A sick sensation started to fill me, and I began to tremble.
Emma.
I shook my head. It couldn't be, but he said it himself.
Emma.
His hand grasped the back of my head. He forced me to look at him.
What's going on?
You. I gasped out. I couldn't talk.
Me?
You said... It was Ben. Ben told them... Ben gave me enough money. Oh, God. I closed my eyes. A raging headache had started. It was going to split me open. Mallory and Ben are gone. Panic overwhelmed me, and I couldn't breathe. I opened my mouth to draw in oxygen, but none came. My lungs stopped working. I pounded on my chest, blinded, feeling more and more panic suffocating me. It was taking over me. I couldn't see. Carter cursed and lifted me in his arms. He was taking me somewhere. My mouth was gaping open as I desperately tried to draw in oxygen. Nothing. I started to thrash around. Oh, God. Oh, God. Then water hit me. It was freezing, but it dosed the storm inside of me. Screaming, I lunged away from it, but Carter held me in place. He bent to change the temperature with his arms around me. His body trapped me in place, and I tried crawling over him to get away. A second later, the water warmed, and my chest rose up and down at a steadier rate. I was calming down.
What's wrong with her? Teresa asked from a distance.
Mallory and Ben are gone. I shook my head. I couldn't get Amanda's voice out of my head. It was him. He had sold me out.
Ben gave me enough money. He gave her money to take care of my things. My feet gave way as I realized what that meant. He knew. He wanted my things put away. He paid for my things, mine and Mallory's, to be stored away. Did he know what they were going to do? He had to know.
Emma?
Carter held me now. I looked up at the concern in his voice. He was gazing down at me, his eyes already knowing. What did he know?
Emma, are you okay?
Teresa stood at the shower door. She was pale and her bottom lip was quivering. She held onto the door handle, but her hand was shaking. I spoke, raw of emotion.
You told me he would sell me out.
Carter closed his eyes. His shoulders dropped and a breath left him. He knew. He'd been right. I had even hoped for it, but knowing it happened, feeling it now, it was different. I couldn't have been prepared for the betrayal.
Who sold you out?
Her hand started to rattle the shower door now.
What's going on?
I held Carter's gaze. The world fell away underneath my feet. I didn't feel the water anymore.
He told them, didn't he?
He nodded. Reaching for him, my hands held onto his shoulders, and he lifted me from the shower. He walked us both out and into a bedroom. Setting me back on my feet, he walked into the bathroom. Teresa touched my hand. Her eyes grew wide when she felt my coldness. She whispered,
"What's going on, Emma?"
Carter came back with towels. He handed one to me as he took a second to wrap around my body. Then he started drying off himself as he went back out the door.
"Emma?"
"Ben sold me out. He was paid to sell me out. But what about Mallory? They were gone. Where had they gone? Was she okay?" Teresa inched closer and dropped her voice.
"I know he killed Scott. Don't worry, Emma. I'm going to call the police. I know you're infatuated with him, but he's not good for you. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to get you away from him."
I looked at her, but felt detached from myself. It was like I was watching us from a safe distance outside of my body. I watched as I said to her,
"He was going to kill me."
"No." She shook her head. "I won't let him. I won't let him hurt you." "Scott Graham was going to kill me. Carter saved my life." Her eyes widened, then narrowed.
"You're in shock. I can see that. You don't know what happened."
My hand latched onto her arm and held it in a death grip. She cried out and then tried to pry my fingers off her arm one at a time. She glanced to my face and back again to her arm, back and forth, back and forth. Her eyebrows furrowed together and she bit her lip.
"Emma, you don't know what you're saying. You think you're in love with him, but you're not. You're blinded by his looks and his power. He's dangerous, Emma. He's very dangerous.
He's my family." She got three of my fingers off, but they latched back on. She sighed.
"Okay. Okay, Emma. I can see this is going to take longer than I thought. Don't say anything to him. He's going to come back any moment."
"I killed someone." My words silenced her. Her arm dropped to her side and she staggered back a step.
"What? What did you say?"
"I'm protecting her."
She whirled around to see Carter in the doorway. A grim expression was on his face, and he held dry clothes in his arms. Then he walked around me and peered close.
"Her eyes are glazed over."
"She's in shock. She thinks she killed someone."
"She did."
He snapped at her and tossed the clothes on the bed.
"Leave, and I'll take care of her."
She snorted.
"Yeah, right. You might be buddies with Noah, and you might have known Emma in a previous life, but I'm not leaving you alone with her. Not one second."
"Noah!"
Carter turned to the doorway.
"What?"
She squeaked as she was lifted in the air. Noah had been waiting in the background. He stepped forward, grabbed Teresa, and left the room with her. Carter called after them.
"She can't leave. Not yet." "I know." Noah's voice lashed out at him, over his shoulder. The door was slammed shut a second later, and I turned towards Carter. I was still detached from my body, but he lifted his hand to my face. He cupped the side of it and ran his thumb over my cheek before he murmured softly, "Come back to me." I shook my head. It was safer where I was. "Come back to me." He moved closer. His voice was a sensual caress against my skin. "Come back to me." I shook my head. It was better not to feel. There was no fear. No one betrayed me when I was like this. Then he rested his forehead against mine and breathed out, "Please, Emma, I need you with me. I love you." I closed my eyes, and the hurt seeped back into me. Everything hurt at once. It was too much, but I opened them again, and I saw the relief in his. His hand closed around mine, and he tucked some of my hair behind my ear. I couldn't handle it, not all of it, and I felt myself numbing again. Then I stepped back. I couldn't do this if he was touching me, and I knew that I needed to hear it all. "Tell me what's going on." He nodded, a look of surrender coming over him.
"You're not going to like some of it."
"I have to know."
"Okay."
He waited until I sat, and then he started.
"I told you before that I had an inside man with Franco, but I stopped hearing from him right before our first attack. He texted me that Ben sold you out, so I doubled your guards after that, but I don't think you noticed. Then when we were attacked, I knew something had happened to him. He would have let me know ahead of time."
"They killed him?" He nodded.
"His body surfaced yesterday. It was delivered to one of the Mauricio houses."
I sucked in my breath. There was more. I knew there was more. "What else?" He hesitated, tense, and then asked,
"Are you sure you want to hear all of this?"
"I have to. I had no other choice. Mallory's gone, Carter. I'm really hoping that Ben took his money and split with her, but I need to know for sure. That means that I have to know everything. You have to tell me everything. Please?" He didn't wait another second.
"Your friend Ben went to Franco and told him that you were the killer. He didn't know about me or what happened with the body, but they'd been looking for Mallory. They knew Jeremy Dunvan had been seeing a regular girlfriend. He knew it was only a matter of time before they found her, so he gave them your name for some money and her safety guaranteed."
A hard look came over him. His wolf eyes turned into ice.
"He was stupid. They're planning to kill him anyways, if they haven't already."
"You know this from your inside guy?"
"And we know that Scott Graham told Franco you were at the club. He didn't know that I'd be there too, or that you'd be going home with me. They can't get to you when you're in my buildings. It's why we've been attacked twice on the streets. After the first attack, we were going to take Scott to the warehouse for an interrogation."
He stopped for a second.
"That's what we do before someone's killed."
They were going to kill Scott, but they hadn't. What happened? I never blinked.
"We needed to know more, and I figured my guy was dead, so we left Scott where he was. He was being kept around to see if he'd be useful to us. His time ran up tonight. Jean came in to take him to the warehouse, but he got free somehow."
"Why tonight?" My heart sped up.
"Because everything was going to be done tonight."
"What?" He started to pace as his hand raked through his hair. His wet shirt had started to dry, but it was lifted up from the movement. It stuck to his skin and remained there. As I watched him go back and forth, his muscles tightened with tension. Suddenly, dread started to fill me. Aside from the attack and stampede that Scott's gun had started, there were other events going on, events, I was starting to realize, that had been in the making for a while. I stood slowly, dismay filling me more and more, until I was standing in front of him. I stopped him, holding on to his arm. "What was supposed to happen tonight?"
"Franco Dunvan was supposed to die tonight."
"By you?" He shook his head, his jaw clenching and unclenching.
by his own family.
Just tell me. Explain it to me.
I've been in Chicago since last weekend.
He paused for a beat.
Do you know who lives in Chicago?
No.
It's the headquarters for the Bartell family.
My heart kept pounding, stronger and stronger. Okay, so you went there. Why? His hand touched my arm. His hold was gentle as he tugged me close. I could feel his heart through his shirt. He murmured, dropping his voice to an intimate whisper.
I went there to barter a truce between the Mauricio family and the Bartell family.
My heart stopped. You did that for me?
I would do anything for you.
His hand cupped the back of my neck. He tilted my head up to meet his eyes. They were hungry and dark. When I saw the demand in them, a flame of desire lit in me. It grew into a fire that blazed hotter and brighter the longer I held his gaze.
Both families have wanted peace between them, and I gave it to them. I didn't get the final decision until this evening, but I got it. I was called in to see the heads of the Mauricio family this afternoon. That's where I was going before Octave. But it's done. By tomorrow morning, Franco Dunvin will be dead, and you'll be safe.
What did you do? How could you do that? I thought the two families had been feuding for years.
No. He shook his head. They've stopped fighting. The only section that's continued the fight was Franco's. When I went to them, I told them my stake and that I wanted your safety. I gave them 2.5% of the wealth that I'll accumulate over the next 5 years.
And your family was fine with this?
I gave them 2.5% as well. 5% of my earnings will go to the families from businesses that are clean. I bought us out, and I bought Franco's death. This is a small price to pay, but large enough so that both families will get along. That was the deal, that both families take the 2.5%. I'm the truce between them. As long as I make money with clean businesses, it looks good to them and their name. You want legal businesses to mask the illegal businesses, but I'm out with all of those other dealings. I'm out, and you're out from Franco's watch.
But why did Scott try to kill me?
I think it was a last attempt. My guess is that the hits started today, and Franco figured it out. He wanted to hurt me the only way he really could. You.
A primal look entered his wolf eyes.
It's what I would have done if I'd been cornered like that. I'd strike where I'd do the most damage. But it didn't work. You're safe.
People are dying tonight?
He nodded. Only Franco's business associates. The Bartell family is cleaning up. Franco's death is their gift to me. They're doing the rest because they have to cover their backs, too.
All of this was for me. All of that bloodshed was because of me. I didn't know how I felt about that, but I hadn't started this for me. I did it for Mallory.
Carter,
I rasped out. Do you know where Mallory is?
He shook his head. No. But if she's alive, they'll find her. The new head of the Bartell family in this city knows about her. They know why you shot Jeremy. They'll contact me when she's found.
I nodded. That was all that mattered, right? All of this was for her.
Emma.
What? He seemed unsure now.
You need to know something else.
What is it? My heart started to pound again.
Jeremy Dunvin was known for breaking in whores for their sex slaves.
He paused, still unsure. Tell me. The hesitation slid away to reveal a deep resignation in him.
My inside guy told me that they thought Jeremy was breaking in your roommate the night you shot him. He wasn't going to kill her. He was going to use her as a sex slave.
His words hit me. They were cold and stabbing. He was going to turn her into a sex slave. He was going to turn her into a sex slave. Carter's words were on repeat in my mind. I kept hearing them over and over.
Suddenly, I didn't care that those people were being killed. I wished I had done more than just shooting Jeremy Dunvin. He deserved worse. He should have died painful and slow.
22. Are you okay?
Carter had told me hours ago what they had been planning to do with Mallory. I asked him for some time alone, and he gave it to me. I'd been sitting on the bed ever since, just sitting there and thinking. As I processed through everything and realized what Carter had done for me, I was grateful. He bought my freedom, while he himself wasn't completely free. He said that he'd have to pay them for 5 years, but was that long enough? I didn't think they would leave him alone after that. Then again, I wasn't a part of this life. This was his life, his world. Judging by the power and wealth that he seemed to have, it was a world that he had thrived in. I waited until he closed the door behind him. He gave me a glass of water and a plate of food. My stomach grumbled as I saw the sandwich on it, but I left it untouched. My stomach said otherwise, but I couldn't eat. Thinking of Mallory as a sex slave had taken care of that.
Emma?
He sat beside me. How will we know if everyone's been taken care of?
It doesn't matter. Franco is the one with the vendetta. When he's dead, no one will be paid for your hit. You'll be safe.
But not you. The words wrung from me. He wasn't free of them.
Emma?
You won't be safe. You're still tied to them. He pulled me against his side and ran his hand up and down my arm.
You don't have to worry about me. As long as I continue to do what I do, I'll be fine.
And if you don't? If you stop making money for them? It was my worst nightmare happening in front of my eyes as I imagined what they'd do to him. An image of his body flashed in my mind. It was like Jeremy Dunvin's body, slumped over with blood coming from him. Except it had Carter's blue eyes. It had Carter's chiseled cheekbones, his sculpted body. But it was lifeless and cold. I shook my head. That couldn't happen. His hand fell away from my shoulders and slipped between us to find my hand, his fingers laced with mine.
That won't happen. I'm not new to this, Emma. I've been working with the Mauricio family for years. My word holds weight with both families now. I will be fine.
Then he grinned.
But it feels nice to have someone worry about me. I'm the one people are scared of, not scared for.
I looked up, torn on the inside. They don't know you like I do. They don't love you like I do. His gaze fell to my lips, and he whispered,
No, they don't. No one knows me like you do.
When his head moved closer, I closed my eyes and felt his lips touch mine. There was a soft insistence from him, and I opened for him. As his tongue swept inside and took command over me, it wasn't long before I was lifted over him. I gasped as he lifted my shirt off. Carter! His lips found mine again. The need for him rose, threatening to take control of me. I shuddered as his hand slid up my side. My skin burned in its wake, sizzling for more. As he continued to explore my body, all the sensations and love I felt for him took over. I needed this. I needed him. I was blind with hunger as he switched our positions. He laid me down, poised above me, and he continued to taste every inch of me. Along with my shirt went my bra, then my pants were next. As his fingers slipped underneath the straps of my panties, he slid them down with his thumbs, brushing against the insides of my thighs as he went. I pulled him down to me, and I wanted his shirt gone. When it was, when I felt the deliciousness of his skin under my hands, I tugged at his jeans. Carter reared back, long enough to kick them off, and then he was back. He was between my legs, kissing me, touching me. He loved me with every touch and caress from him. When he slid inside of me, I held still, helpless against how my body trembled for him. Then he started to move, and I came alive in his arms. As the rhythm grew and his thrusts went deeper and deeper, I wrapped my legs around him. I joined with him in every manner. My body was his. He could do as he pleased, and as I skimmed a hand down his back, he trembled underneath my touch. His body was mine as well. We belonged to each other. As I felt the edge nearing, I held on to him as he continued to move inside of me. His hand curved around my leg and lifted it higher. I opened even more, and he went deeper from the different angle.
Carter,
I whispered against his skin. My hand clung to him, holding on to him. I met him move for move. He thrust in, my hips went with him. We rode together. His eyes were open, bearing into mine. I felt myself stripped open to him, my soul bared as his hips upped the tempo. Then it was time. I felt him tensing at the same time my climax ripped through me. Waves of pleasure slammed into me, and I rode out each of them. As I finished, he let himself go. I skimmed a hand down his sweaty back, kissing his shoulder when he collapsed on top of me. Carter, I murmured. He let out a long breath. His body shook as it came from deep within him. His hand trailed up my arm and he lifted himself up, tracing my lips as he looked down at me now. We didn't speak. I couldn't. This man was mine. This very powerful being, sculpted to perfection with eyes that were of a wolf's. He touched his lips to mine, a soft claiming as he whispered against them, I love you so goddamn much, Emma. I love you too. I was weak, with too many strong feelings sweeping inside of me, too many and too powerful for me to name. But as I gazed up at him, I saw his strength. As I lay in his arms, and as he turned for me once more during the night, our bodies moved together as one, and I felt my own strength awaken inside of me. I had grown addicted to this beautiful man. He was mine. I would always love this man. I rose from the bed and pulled on a robe that hung from the bathroom door. When I went into the kitchen, I looked around and started the coffee pot. As it brewed behind me and I began to look for more food to start breakfast for everyone, I knew that I had changed. Maybe it was that I had almost been killed, that I had seen it with my own eyes, or maybe it was knowing what would have happened to Mallory if I hadn't pulled that trigger. I wasn't sure which it was, but I had been changed. The culmination had occurred inside of me. I wasn't quaking anymore. I wasn't whining about losing my freedom or the inability to join friends for drinks without being babysat. None of that mattered anymore. It was done. Men had died because of me. I no longer cared. I should have, but I didn't. Or maybe it was how I felt like one with Carter now. I felt his power inside of me. My body grew stronger as I thought of the last time. The primal way he had taken me still sent reverberations through me. It wasn't that I was protected or sheltered by him. It was being with him and being loved by him that made me feel his power. It was overwhelming and intoxicating.
Morning!
Teresa yawned behind me. I turned and saw her anew. I knew she wasn't different. I knew it was me, but she looked weak to me. She saw it, too. Her hand had risen to scratch behind her ear, but when she locked gazes with me, her hand fell away. Her eyes widened, and her mouth fell open slightly. Nothing else was said. She shook her head, and her eyes narrowed. Then she pulled the ends of her robe tighter around her, crossed her arms over herself, and mused,
"You look different."
I unwrapped the bacon and placed slices into a pan. The sizzling from the oil started as I glanced back at her. "Did you sleep?"
"Yeah, surprisingly."
Another yawn came over her, and she rested against a counter.
"Did you?"
Images of our lovemaking flashed in my head, and a jolt of pleasure rushed through me. A faint grin came over me, but I nodded. I did.
Is he still asleep?
My hand tightened on the pan as I heard her derision. We both knew who she meant. My back straightened, but I took a calming breath. Yeah. Is Noah?
I heard a soft sniffle behind me before she replied, I wouldn't know. I turned now and saw the agony in her depths before it was masked. I'm sorry, Teresa. She shrugged. Yeah, well, what can I do about it? Brianna made her wishes clear last night. Noah's not going to go against them, even if we did almost die.
You know that Scott Graham started that riot last night.
I didn't. No. I tensed as I heard annoyance in her tone. Is that what he said?
Okay. Anger boiled up as I regarded her. I'd had enough.
You have some poor misconceptions about last night, Teresa. Let me correct them for you right now.
She straightened from the counter, but remained silent.
The tongs I held in my hand came down hard on the counter beside me. You saw what you saw. You saw Carter kill your friend, but he was a man that was sent to kill me. And yes, Teresa, he was going to kill me. Scott Graham might have been nice to you when you went to Octave, but he was selling information to a man that wanted me dead. Stop, she hissed. She had grown pale with each word I said. Her chest rose up and down at a rapid pace. Just stop, Emma. You sound crazy.
I was calm. I was cold, even.
A little more than 3 weeks ago, I came home and found my roommate being raped. He was going to kill her, or worse, and he was going to do the same to me because I was there. I shot him, Teresa. She flinched as I said this. I hardened inside. I didn't care. She needed to hear the ugly truth. And because I knew Carter and trusted him, I went to him for help. He's been protecting me ever since, because the man I killed is the son of another mobster. Her eyes went wide, but I saw the thoughts flying in her mind. She was connecting the dots. It was a matter of time, and when her eyes filled with renewed horror, I knew she had figured it out. The name Dunvin fell from her lips in a whispered gasp. I killed Jeremy Dunvin, and his father has been looking for me.